If your last vaccination against COVID-19 was more than 5 months ago, it's time to get another dose. Boosting your antibodies reduces the risk of getting or transmitting the virus, and booster doses help reduce the number of hospitalizations and deaths related to COVID-19. For better protection against the virus, book an appointment at quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine and follow the recommended vaccination schedule. Vaccination against COVID-19, a good way of extending our protection. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Right now, all we know is that Alex stopped drinking water 50 hours ago. We don't know where he is. We don't know if he's alive. I asked the British authorities to get us some proof that Alex is alive and conscious. I did not get any response.
The family of the imprisoned Egyptian dissident Alaa Abdel Fattah says they no longer know if he's dead or alive, more than 50 hours after he stopped drinking water in an intensification of a six-month hunger strike. We'll hear Alaa's sister Sana Saif speak at the UN climate summit today in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. We'll also look at what today's midterm elections could mean for the climate crisis. Then to Arizona, where Republicans are attempting to suppress voting on Native American reservations.
Times have changed. Our ancestors had bows and arrows. We have democracy, our vote, our voice. Together, as sovereign nations, we have a powerful voice. Go vote and make a difference.
Then election protection. We'll speak to the head of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law.
I'm here to warn you of another effect of these lies, the rapid deterioration of our democracy and unprecedented threats of violence and intimidation against election officials, Black communities, and other communities of color all around this country.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. It's Election Day in the United States. The pivotal midterm elections will determine who controls the House and Senate, as well as many state houses. A record 43 million people cast their ballots early. The Pennsylvania Senate race between Democrat John Fetterman and the Trump-backed Mehmet Oz is one of today's most closely watched contests. On Monday, Fetterman filed a federal lawsuit in an effort to have mail-in ballots be counted, even if they're undated or improperly dated. Meanwhile, Republicans have sued to disqualify thousands of mail-in ballots in key swing states, including Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. On Monday, President Biden warned the future of democracy is at risk.
Today, we face an inflection point, one of those moments that comes around every three or four generations. We know in our bones that our democracy is at risk, and we know that this is your moment to defend it, preserve or protect it, choose it.
We'll have more on the elections later in the broadcast. And tune in tonight when Democracy Now! Will be airing a three-hour election night special beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern. In news from the United Nations Climate Summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, several leaders of the African Union said today their countries cannot afford the cost of adapting to the impacts of the climate crisis. In their remarks at COP27, they urge richer nations fulfill their promise of paying climate reparations for disproportionately fueling the climate catastrophe. This comes as a new report finds the United States is falling far short of contributing its fair share to UN-backed climate finance goals. The analysis by the UK-based climate news source Carbon Brief found the U.S. should be paying nearly $40 billion annually towards the UN's $100 billion climate finance target. Instead, the U.S. has paid less than $8 billion. Meanwhile, another major report published Monday warns global warming has pushed the planet's stores of ice to a widespread collapse that was unthinkable just just a decade ago, with some level of Arctic sea ice certain to vanish in summer months before the year 2050, even as countries drastically reduce their fossil fuel emissions. Climate scientists say the only way to avoid further catastrophe is to take urgent steps now. If fossil fuel pollution is allowed to continue to grow, the Arctic could lose most of its sea ice by 2030. In more news from Egypt, fear over the deteriorating health of British-Egyptian human rights activist and political prisoner Ali Abdel Fattah is mounting as his family says they don't know if he's alive or dead. On Monday, his mother, Professor Leila Swaif, waited for 10 hours outside the gates of the desert prison where her son is being held, hoping to receive his weekly letter that never arrived. His family believes prison authorities may be force-feeding Abdel Fattah. They're now demanding proof of life, as Abdel Fattah intensified a six-month hunger strike by giving up water altogether over 50 hours ago. On Sunday, the opening day of the UN Climate Summit, COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh. This is a sister, Sana Saif, speaking from Sharm el-Sheikh Monday.
I'm really scared. It's now been over 24 hours where he stopped water. And I read online, like, what happens to the body, and it's for a normal body, he can endure maximum a week. Alec's body is not normal. He's very frail. So I don't know if we're talking about hours or days. I'm really, really scared.
We'll hear Sana Saif's full address at the UN Climate Summit after headlines. In the Netherlands, Dutch border guards arrested more than 100 climate activists on Saturday after over 500 demonstrators spread out across Amsterdam's main airport and blocked private jets from taking off. The protesters are demanding a ban on unnecessary short-haul flights and the widespread use of highly polluting private aircraft by wealthy elites. They also want authorities to cancel a planned expansion of Amsterdam's airport. In Ukraine, Russian-appointed officials say they've completed a mass evacuation of Kherson ahead of an anticipated Ukrainian assault to recapture the city. Ukraine's called the evacuation a forced deportation and a war crime, and accused Russian forces of looting abandoned homes and quartering soldiers inside. Meanwhile, Russia has blamed Ukraine for destroying power lines to Kherson, leading to widespread blackouts and the loss of tap water beginning Sunday. Meanwhile, the Russian Defense Ministry Monday sought to dampen growing anger inside Russia over recent battlefield losses in Ukraine's eastern Donetsk region. On Monday, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said hundreds of Russian troops, many of them recent conscripts, were being killed there each day.
The Donetsk region remains the epicenter of the greatest madness of the occupiers. Hundreds die daily. The ground before the Ukraine positions is littered with bodies of the occupiers.
The U.S. Air Force has carried out joint air drills with South Korea that included a flyover by a pair of supersonic nuclear-capable B-1B bombers. The weekend military exercises came as the U.S. and South Korea agreed to extend war games involving hundreds of warplanes and thousands of troops. The drills came as North Korea test-fired more than 30 missiles over the past week, including an intercontinental ballistic missile on Thursday that triggered evacuation alerts in Japan. In Italy, at least 89 asylum seekers on board a German humanitarian aid rescue ship were allowed to disembark in the coastal city of Reggio Calabria early on Tuesday, after days of being stranded in the Mediterranean Sea. Another Norwegian-run rescue ship with some 250 asylum seekers is still stuck in the Sicilian coast, as Italian officials have for days blocked its passengers from disembarking. Three people jumped off the boat in desperation as they attempted to reach safety, while others screamed for help. Back in the United States, Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett has rejected another challenge to the Biden administration's student debt relief plan. The Education Department has approved 16 million borrowers for up to $20,000 of relief each, but it's unclear when they'll actually see their loans canceled or reduced, thanks to a Republican-led lawsuit, which has put Biden's plan on hold while an appeals court weighs its merits. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. has temporarily suspended a four-month prison sentence and a $6,500 fine for Trump White House chief strategist Stephen Bannon, pending an appeal. Bannon was sentenced for criminal contempt of Congress last month after he refused to comply with a subpoena issued by the House January 6 committee. The judge who suspended Bannon's sentence, U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols, was nominated to the federal bench in 2019 by then-President Donald Trump. And Twitter's new billionaire owner is using the social media platform to call on U.S. voters to elect Republicans to Congress. Musk's endorsement to his 115 million Twitter followers came a day ahead of the U.S. midterm elections. The same day, the League of Women Voters of California said Twitter unexpectedly suspended the account of its executive director. The League's San Francisco chapter tweeted, quote, "No warning, no explanation, no way to appeal. What is next?" they said. The executive director's account came back online overnight. She said Twitter informed her it had mistakenly taken her offline, along with a batch of spam accounts. In an email to volunteers, she wrote, quote, "We should all be concerned, not for me, but for how this impedes access to democracy and silences a source of trustworthy election information." And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, we begin today's show in Egypt at the UN Climate Summit in Sharm el-Sheikh, where climate justice activists are calling on the Egyptian government to free Ala Abdel Fattah, one of Egypt's best-known political prisoners. Ala's been on hunger strike for 6 months, stopped drinking water Sunday, as the UN Climate Summit began in Egypt. He has now gone over 50 hours without water. His family says they no longer know if he's still alive or if he's being force-fed. The family's also appealing to the British government for help, since Ala has British citizenship as well as his Egyptian citizenship. Just before our broadcast, Ala's sister Sana Saif spoke at a news conference inside the UN Climate Summit in Sharm el-Sheikh.
Hello, and thank you very much for the global campaign to demand climate justice, for their support and for hosting me. My family and I have been so moved to see the huge support that Ala has had from climate organizations from across the world. I hope that one day we can repay you, really. It's heartwarming. At this conference, the most vulnerable are supposed to negotiate with the most powerful. So I want to say that whatever chance my brother has at surviving will come from people who are vulnerable. It will come from those paying the price for others' luxury, from those locked into a system they did not choose. Although this has been the most difficult time my family has ever faced, whatever happened, I feel like Ala has won the cause. The symbolic battle has been won by your show of support. I just hope his body and he is not sacrificed for it. He's not in prison for the Facebook post they charged him with. He's in prison because he's someone who makes people believe the world can be a better place. He's someone trying to make the world a better place. And if he could see everything that so many people have done for him, he would be comforted that he's right. I know he would be very happy. So we have not yet been defeated. But right now, all we know is that Ala stopped drinking water 50 hours ago. We don't know where he is. We don't know if he's alive. My mother waited outside the prison gates for 10 hours yesterday for her weekly letter. They didn't give her one. She's back at those gates right now. I asked the British authorities to get us some proof that Ala is alive and conscious. I did not get any response. Right here in this conference center, the Egyptian foreign minister, who is also the co-president, has been giving interviews saying there is nothing to worry about and that the prison have medical facilities. President Sisi made a commitment to President Macron that Ala's health will be preserved, and these statements really worried me. Are they force-feeding my brother right now? Is he handcuffed in a bed, put on IVs against his will? This is what it sounds like to me when they say preserve his health, but not acknowledge his hunger strike and not allow consular access. For the entire time Alec has been on a hunger strike, the prison refused to allow him an independent medical examination. They forged a fake medical report in July without examining him. They said he has access to 3 meals a day while he was on hunger strike. I don't trust them. My brother doesn't trust them, and he repeatedly refused their medical examination, demanding that an observer from his lawyers or the British consulate be present. This demand was never accepted. This is a man who has denied himself food for 7 months because he wants to meet with his embassy. It's a very simple ask. Just let the embassy access. If that's so, to tell me that he could now be handcuffed to a bed, being force-fed, that this is some kind of a solution is grotesque. If that's the case, then he has been plunged into an even worse nightmare than he was already in. We know that they are happy for him to die. The only thing they care about is that it doesn't happen while the world is watching. But the world is watching, and it's not only watching the Egyptian authorities, it's also watching other governments, including the UK government and other Western governments complicit in our oppression, who benefit from our oppression. Everyone always talks about how strong the UK and Egypt relationship is. Is torturing a dual citizen part of that strong relationship? This has to end. It can end. There are three ways for it to end. Let the British embassy visit him, or put him in a plane out of Egypt today, or he will die. He will be relieved of this nightmare. But Alec shouldn't be forced anything against his will. I would also like to remind that my family's ordeal is, it's an extreme example, but it's not the only example. There are tens of thousands of political prisoners in Egypt. There are more around the world. Climate activists get arrested, kidnapped in Latin America. We face the same kind of oppression, and our cause is one. And I'm really, really thankful to your solidarity.
That's Sana Saif speaking inside the UN Climate Summit today in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, just before we went to broadcast, about her imprisoned brother, Ala Abdel Fattah, who is 40 years old. Moments later, an Egyptian member of parliament, Amr Darwish, attempted to disrupt the press conference. Amnesty International Secretary General Agnès Callamard said the attempt to derail the press conference gives a, quote, small sense of the regime of fears and silencing in the country right now, unquote.
Welcome back to CKUT. It's time for a little weather. Wednesday will be sunny with some clouds in the afternoon with a high of 9 degrees Celsius. Thursday will bring a mix of sun and clouds throughout the day and a high of 17 degrees Celsius. Friday will be partly sunny in the morning, then with a light rain in the afternoon. Saturday will bring a light rain in the morning and then partly sunny in the afternoon. The high will be 9 degrees Celsius. Sunday will be partly sunny throughout the day with a high of 3 degrees Celsius. Be careful to dress the way that you choose to dress during 3 degrees Celsius weather, as that temperature is a very magical one. Should you wear bare feet, or is it time for winter boots and shoes? Monday will be mainly sunny in the morning, with increasing clouds in the afternoon. The high will be again 3 degrees Celsius. And finally, Tuesday will be mainly sunny with increasing clouds in the afternoon, again 3 degrees Celsius and a chance of Diagon Alley. And that's it for weather on the New Spins Library this morning. We'll be right back.
far from my independent woman getting. Time for my independent woman getting dope. Independent woman getting dope. Time for my independent woman getting dope.
This is Brian Campbell, and you're listening to New Spin's Library on CKUT.
It's a lightning morning, the sun is shining bright. Put away your sadness, dear, we're gonna have a bright good time.
Today I'm being honest, no mask of faking a smile. Today I'm being honest, I'm feeling alive. I'm focused and I will get what I want. You should know that. Focused and I will get. You should know that. I'm a hard worker, I'm a strong woman. What you say will never ever get to me. I'm a hard worker, I'm a strong woman. Anything you say will never.
Things get wet when they come in contact with water. But does that rule apply to water itself? Find out this week on In the Shower with Taz and Marcus.
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus. In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
Hello, lovely listener, and welcome to In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, a bite-sized podcast that aims to answer the mysteries of the world in 15 or so minutes.
Have you ever wondered why we kiss? It's a bit weird.
Or why we yawn.
Or why men have nipples.
Or why coffee makes us poop.
If you've wondered the answer to any of those questions, we've answered them.
And we're about to answer one more.
So step into the shower with us as we answer, is water wet?
In the shower with Taz and Marcus. 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 In the shower with Taz and Marcus.
This week we're answering a question from Dublin-based DJ and all-around good fella Jake Fitzgerald.
Jake Fitzgerald.
Jakey Fitz. Jake. This question is mental, and funnily enough, you're not the first person to ask it, and I've actually gotten into debates about this. He's asked us if water is wet, right? Obviously, it's a very shower-centric question, so we're digging it here and in the shower towers.
I am very, very skeptical of this week's episode. I don't think it deserves a whole episode. I am ready to be rudely awakened, but water is obviously wet.
No, well, it's not as obvious as you think, right? And the debate about this has kind of been consuming the internet for the last 2 or 3 years. Like, it's actually fairly intensely disputed, right?
Ah, come on. How on earth can water not be wet? It's literally the essence of wetness.
Well, the whole thing comes down to the definition of wetness, Taz.
Wetness. I don't know how I feel about that word, but wetness is wet. Something is dry and something is wet.
Right, so that's the thing. Like that, to establish this, the first Google definition of wetness, right?
I can't get over that word.
Of moistness. No, of wetness is the state or condition of being covered or saturated with water or another liquid, right? They had to throw that in there, or another liquid. It's also a conditional adjective, right? To say that something gets wet means that it also has the possible condition of dryness, which water does not.
What? So things that interact with water can get wet, but water itself can't get wet because it doesn't have the option of being dry.
Yeah, basically. That's the long and short of it. And that's the thing that people are saying. Like, if you look at a table and you put some water on it, you'd be like, oh, the table's wet. Right? Water itself, though, can't get wet. It doesn't have the option of being dry. Like, it's kind of, you can't get water wet. So that begs the question. Like, you can't wet water. Does that make sense?
But water is wet. But I kind of see where the question comes from now, and I'll admit my initial response was a little aggressive. So let's smash this out a little bit more. Is water wet?
Okay, so the opinion on this seems quite literally 50-50 when you actually break it down, right? And it comes down, as I said, to definition. Wetness isn't a state of a liquid, but as I said, a conditional adjective based on the state of an object's interaction with a liquid, right? Do you hear me?
Okay.
The important definition is that the object that becomes wet, not the water. You can't make water wet by those parameters. So, is it wet? Or is the element which is needed to make a state of wetness presence water? Right?
So, water by itself isn't wet.
So, it would appear. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, that's everyone. Like, water is the vehicle to make something wet. But by its own definition, water isn't wet. Like, if you go into water, you'll be wet because you've interacted with water. If you throw a dog into a lake, the dog will be wet, but the water won't be wet.
Okay, what about other liquids then? Can milk be wet?
Well, yeah, I assume so.
Because can the wetness that is being applied to the object only be water?
No, it said it in the definition, water or another liquid. It could be beer.
So
could
what?
Be soup.
So milk is wet?
Yeah, well, no, milk is liquid.
So no liquid can be wet?
Well, that's the question. Well, I suppose it depends on the texture of the liquid. But for the sake of this argument, it's the fact that we're like, is water wet? You can't be like, is broth wet? Well, you can, but it's just weird. It's a weird statement.
So how deep does this wet rabbit hole go?
That's dirty. All right, but since this is a question of definition, this is kind of what we're going in, and that's the whole thing about this argument, that it does boil down to the definition that water makes something wet as opposed to being wet itself. But that's the Google definition. I didn't want to take, you know, the Google definition as scripture, so I looked up an actual physical dictionary. I had the Merriam-Webster dictionary at home for a bit more of an in-depth definition than one offered by our great googly overlords. I haven't used a dictionary in ages. It's a thrill. Do you know what?
It's like the little things.
Do you ever think that, like, if you read a dictionary, like front cover to back cover, that every single book that you read is just a remix of that? It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Go on.
But I looked up the actual dictionary for a bit more of an in-depth definition. And I think it brings us a little bit closer to our answer, right?
Okay.
Right. So there, the Merriam-Webster definition is as follows. Wetness or wet is something containing, covered with, or thoroughly penetrated by water. First word, containing, settles it for me, by definition.
Water definitely contains water.
Yeah, for sure. And, all right, if you want to get very mildly scientific for just a second, right? A singular water molecule, H2O, on its own, isn't wet, right?
Okay.
But when it interacts with other water molecules, six to be exact, they form powerful chemical bonds with each other, which by the very definition of wetness makes them wet because they contain each other and they're in contact with each other and they are getting in contact with water. So that makes them wet. And in my opinion...
So that would be a H3O3 molecule?
No, it would just be a lot of H2Os.
H2O.
Do you know, somebody on a bus in Indonesia listening to this just going, what is this?
What in God's name is this?
I
actually did really, really well in school in chemistry. I got a B1 in my chemistry leaving cert exam. Honours, I know. Very good. Decided to do media. But I would have been able to debate this a lot more.
I don't know if the question is water wet is popping up on the leaving cert or the A-levels or the baccalaureate. I don't know if that's...
So water isn't wet?
No, what we're saying is water is wet because water contains water. And by the Merriam-Webster definition, anything that is containing, covered with, or thoroughly penetrated with water is wet. So water contains water.
So water is wet. So yeah. So milk is then wet too.
Yeah, you keep on going back to milk. It's mental. There you go. But you know what? I'm saying I'm putting the in the shower stamp on this. Like with the woodchucks, like with a few other, like the who came first, chicken or the egg. I'm calling it. Water is wet.
In the shower, smashing speculation once again. Any water facts to end the episode?
Do you know what? We usually end the episode with facts. So I looked up a couple of water facts, right? Usually we view the world in a northern and southern hemisphere, right? But did you know that there's actually a view that there should be a land and a water hemisphere, with the vast majority of the Earth's landmass being on one side of the planet?
Jesus! I never thought about that.
Yeah, seriously, go onto Google Maps and like zoom out loads and like you can actually just flip it and like half the planet kind of has like Australia and that's it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, okay. What would you reckon the wettest place on Earth is?
I'd say definitely somewhere in Ireland or Scotland. Like, there's boglands around my house in Multifarnham that are fairly wet.
Do you know what? Actually, you'd never think this, but it's in a place called Mosni Ram in India.
Okay.
Yeah.
India.
And they experience just under 12 metres of rainfall annually, right?
Oh my God.
And that's just under 30 times more annual rainfall than Dublin.
I didn't think there could be more.
Yeah, but it's bonkers.
That's insane. But surely since water is wet, the wettest place on Earth would be in the middle of the water hemisphere, no?
Oh, God, you got me. What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
In the show with Des and Marcus, 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 in the show with Des and Marcus.
There you have it. Is water wet? One of those questions that was probably asked once at an after party and just got out of control when somebody put it on the internet.
Answer is water is wet and so is milk.
Newsflash, so is broth. We can probably extend that to quite a few other liquids.
All liquids, really?
I'd say vermouth.
Mmm.
Kahlua.
Beer.
Beer. We're just going at alcohols.
Tomato soup.
Anyway, lovely listeners, thank you so much for dedicating your ears to our debunking of a life-altering question.
If you have any questions that you would like us to research and debunk in 15 or so minutes, then please do send them in. We are dying for more questions. If any of your relatives have any questions, if any of your friends have any questions, or if you indeed have any questions, then send them in.
And I mean, it can be anything. We just answered, is water wet? Come on, hit us with your best shot.
You can hit your questions to intheshowerpodcast@gmail.com.
You can get us on Facebook. Just look up In The Shower with Taz and Marcus. And if you want to get us on your socials, on your Instagram and your Twitter, just look up at In The Shower Pod.
If you enjoyed this episode of In The Shower with Taz and Marcus, then good news. There are over 75, if not 80 episodes that are ready and waiting for your ears. You can download them, listen to them on your commute, listen to them when you're exercising, listen to them wherever you do so, please. But you will be a more interesting dinner party guest if you do in fact listen to them all.
So we've just answered a question, but we have another question next week.
Woohoo!
What are we looking at next week?
Okay, so next week, this is one that came from Scotland, which
from
is
Scotland.
In fact not the wettest place on Earth.
Okay.
It comes from a man called Heinrich.
Heinrich?
Heinrich.
Heinrich the Scotsman.
And he wants to know, are oysters actually an aphrodisiac?
That question will be ready and answered next week in time for your Monday morning shower. But in the meantime, keep scrubbing.
In the shower with Des and Marcus, 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 in the shower with Des and Marcus.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Lo, 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 Leopoldo, no. Mercredi 9 novembre 2022. Oui, c'est bien l'émission Sleeping Radio. On est de retour en studio. On entend derrière des sons parisiens, la rue Ronsard.